John chapter 5. Where did we leave off last time? You tell me. What did we leave off with?
The pool.
All right, the pool. Okay, what about the pool? What did we talk about the pool?
Its healing properties.
Okay, the pool and some healing properties. Someone other than Blake.
Paralytic for 38 years.
All right, what did paralytic mean?
He was paralytic.
Yeah, he was invalid.
He was lame.
He was lame. All right, for 38 years. What else did we discuss?
It was probably water.
Okay, possibly healing water from naturalistic, or what's the other idea?
Angels.
Or that angels would come down and touch the water. All right. Anything else? What else happened? Okay, Jesus heals the man.
On the Sabbath.
And what went down with that, Sam? Yeah, the Pharisees are mad. Why are the Pharisees mad?
Because
he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath, and they considered that work. Okay. How many of you tried that excuse with your parents that, oh, I can't make my bed, it's the Lord's day? Good. All right. I'm glad you all learned not to use that. All right. So, this being said, Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Malachi, you got your Bible open?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I am interested in your guys' feedback on this. You don't have to let me know now. The number of actual Bibles in the room is troublesome. So I am not above bribery. I am happy to bribe you with things. So, you know, like when you're in elementary school and you get like a little sticker chart, and once you get a reward, okay? I'm willing to do that with bringing your Bible to church on Sunday. So you let me know. Like, you don't have to defend yourself, Robert. I wasn't talking to you. Okay? So you let me know what would incentivize you enough that you would actually think, you know what? Before I stop at Starbucks, I should probably grab my Bible.
Hey, who is he talking to? I have my Bible.
Yeah.
I have to go with my Bible.
All right. So you let me know what would incentivize you. Way back when, you want to know what I did last time, Sam? This will tell you how long it's been since I've done this.
Not that you had nothing to hide.
Okay, y'all know who the Sturms are? Any of you know who the Sturms are?
Yes. Sturm.
Okay. Jacob Sturm was in senior high Sunday school. How long ago this was. Jacob Sturm is like an adult married now. Anyway. So, I forget how many weeks I did it, but we had a little challenge, and those who got, like, top five or whatever in points, I took them to lunch at one of the steakhouses in town.
Pastor Brian.
Yeah,
I brought my Bible every day to, like, the
pastor.
Blake, and I've taken you to lunch.
I bring my Bible every single Sunday.
That's good.
All right. So, back to John 5. Given the healing on the Sabbath. Shh, Robert. Given the healing on the Sabbath, Jesus ended our conversation last time with, as they were persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath, Jesus' response was, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Now we have one verse that is, our Bibles most of the time will transition us to the next section. All right, Nathaniel, read verse 18 for us. John 5.
Do you also have home room? What?
John chapter 5, verse 18.
Different Jews. Different Jews sought out all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath. Also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God.
All right, so what are the issues that the Jews have with Jesus? Let's write them down. What are the issues the Jews have with Jesus?
He broke the Sabbath.
Okay, he broke the Sabbath. What else?
He considers himself equal with God.
All right, so reasons to kill Jesus. What's on it? What was that first thing you said, Blake?
Sabbath.
All right. What does Jesus do to the Sabbath? What does he do to the Sabbath that puts him on their hit list?
Heals.
Okay. Okay, he dishonors it. Does he dishonor it?
No.
Sorry, Toby. All right, good. It was a Sabbath regulation that they had kind of instilled. All right, what's another reason why they're trying to kill Jesus now? Zach? All right. He is equal with God. Any more reasons? What are the other reasons why? He broke the Sabbath. He made himself equal with God. And what does he do? They kind of we kind of lump it in here with calling with the equality thing. Good. Thank you, Sierra. Claim to be God's son. All right. So let's ask this question then. Does Jesus ever claim to be God? Okay. So if anyone in a conversation ever says Jesus never claimed to be God, well, then what we can say to them, Ben, is, well, the Jews sure thought he said that, because that's on the list of reasons why they want to kill him. You claim to be his son, and you claim to have full authority. So here's, what can, go ahead, Blake.
I don't think they would have killed him for just breaking the Sabbath.
No, they definitely would have been angry about this whole Sabbath thing. Depending on how he broke it, I could see them potentially stoning someone over it.
But not crucifying him.
No. Probably not. All right, so let's ask this question. What does Jesus claim that puts him on full authority with God?
That he's the Son.
That he's the Son of God. Okay, thanks, Sam. Mm-hmm. So by Jesus claiming to be God's Son, he gets full authority with God. So does Jesus expect to operate with all of God's authority on the earth? Yes or no? Yes. He just claimed all that authority. That being said, so this is the context. Why do they not like Jesus? Because this is where we're transitioning. He was healing on the Sabbath, so he broke the Sabbath. He claimed to have God as his father, and doing so makes him equal with God. And we're not okay with that. So now Jesus is going to teach on his authority. So let's do this. We'll start over here as Blake, and we'll work our way back this side of the room. We're going to read down through, we'll just go through 24 at this time. So starting in verse 19, so we won't get very far back that section.
One verse per person.
Yeah, one verse per person.
John 5.
Starting with John 5, 19.
So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only that what he sees the Father do. But whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise.
For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself has done, and greater works than his will to show him, so that he may know.
For as the Father raised the dead and raised them alive, so also the Son gives life to whom he will."
22. Eli and Caden, you guys gonna fight over this, or?
Oh. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
Alright, next verse. Eli, you don't have your Bible with you? Oh. Okay. Alright, Addison.
That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him.
Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. They will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life.
All right. We'll pause there for just a second. So what did we just read? What did we hear about? The
authority of the Son.
Okay, well, James read the heading for us, the authority of the Son. What's going on here? All right, let's back up to verse 19 and let's walk through it then. Reread verse 19. What do you see?
Jesus
What's going on there? What's Jesus claiming? What's Jesus teaching?
He does the will of the Father.
Okay, Blake says he does the will of the Father. Alright, how do you see that, Blake? How do you get that from verse 19?
Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatsoever the Father only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise.
Alright. So does God do everything Jesus does? Jesus does everything God the Father does. So when did God the Father come walking on the earth and telling guys to get up and make your bed?
He does. Jesus does the Father's work. So the Father was it. Jesus does.
Okay, but he doesn't say. We'll talk about that in a little bit, Tyler. But he says, whatever he sees the Father doing, that's what the Son does likewise. Look at verse 19 again. Truly, truly, Jesus says to them, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, of his own will, his own desire. What does he do then? Only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So, the question I have is, when did God the Father walk on the earth telling guys who have been lame for 38 years, because that's what we talked about last time, get up and walk? Pack up your things. When did God the Father do that? He didn't. So Jesus is lying and John 5, 19 is heresy. Good job. All right, let's move on.
Would that be the Father working on Jesus?
Okay. Zach says Jesus didn't lie. So then what's going on here then?
The Father works through Jesus, like with his Spirit.
Okay, the Father works through Jesus with his Spirit. Okay. The Father is not Jesus. Jesus is the Son. No, I'm not doing that. We should make Malachi do it. Draw the Augustinian triangle. Alright, you guys have seen it before. What's the point of the Augustinian triangle? Someone other than this section. Zoe, do you remember this?
No.
You don't remember the triangle that we used to talk about the relationship?
I do.
Okay, what's the whole point of the triangle, Zoe? What's it explain for us? What's it help us understand? We'll use the word persons. Three persons.
Yeah.
Three persons of what? Like, there's more than three persons in here, so I use triangles for that?
No.
No, it relates to something very specific.
Was it
three persons of God?
What, Zoe?
Three persons of God.
Okay, the three persons of the Godhead. And what do we call that collective unit of the three persons of the Godhead?
The Trinity.
The Trinity. All right, go ahead, Robert.
I was thinking about some different.
Okay. So, that idea of the Augustinian triangle, okay, understanding the Trinity, understanding how God the Son is on full level, all levels, authoritative, just like the Father. Except when the Father wants something done, the Son and the Spirit do it. So there is this equality, yet some level of difference, because for some reason God the Father calls the shots and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit listen. So Jesus does whatever the Father wants him to do. So how does that work if God's never done the things that we saw earlier in chapter 5? How would you explain that? If God the Father never God the Father never came to the earth and did what we read about last time earlier in chapter 5. How can Jesus say that he's only doing what the Father does?
God the Father healed before.
Okay. Does it have to be before, Blake?
Like, God the Father came before Jesus?
No.
Is that what he's saying?
No.
What did you say?
Like, Jesus is like God's
whisper.
Okay, Jesus is God's, okay, God's tool on earth, okay.
Because we know Jesus is the Father.
God's son.
So the Father can't work through and say that God did it.
Okay. So when did God the Father heal someone like earlier in chapter 5? When did God the Father do that? You don't have to turn back pages, Blake.
Through Jesus.
It's not previous chapters.
Time.
Yeah, through Jesus at the exact same time. Okay, this is why we're stepping into the equality of who Jesus is. Because Zach, when they get angry that Jesus makes himself equal with God by claiming to be his son, when Jesus does something, he is effectively saying, this is what God wants done right here, right now. And God is doing this because I have all the authority of God because I'm his son. You guys tracking?
Yes.
So you, using that idea, you can see why the Jews got so ticked off at it. Because when he claimed to be God, he was putting, if you will, quite literally, hands and feet to the actions of God. When Jesus walks up to a man and says, do you want to be healed? Get up and walk. He is taking God the Father, and God the Father is doing that through his son. That's why they have such a big deal about this, that they want to put him to death. Verse 18, we read, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. All the more says, yeah, they wanted him dead, now they really want him dead. Because he has upped the ante, or he has made this even worse by his actions. What were those actions? Equality with God. So verse 19 we read, now we get to verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him so that you may marvel. All right, well that's, I'm using the ESV. If you're using your phone, make sure you're in the ESV translation. All right, let's connect some of these pronouns, because we've got some pronouns that need antecedents. Look at verse 20 with me. For the Father loves the Son. Any pronouns? You guys know what a pronoun is?
Yes.
All right, no pronouns. And shows him. Who is the him? All right, so for the Father loves the Son and shows the Son all that he himself. Who is he himself?
The Father.
The Father. For the Father loves the Son and shows the Son all that the Father is doing. Okay, that's the first sentence. And greater works than these, okay, what are the works that are the these? Jesus uses that demonstrative pronoun to point to these works, what he's done. What work is he pointing to?
The healing that he just did.
Okay, the healing he just did of the man who's been lame for 38 years. Greater works than these, will he show him. Who is the he? Father, greater works than these, the Father will show him. Who's the him now? The Son. So that you, who is the you now? Okay, the Jews may marvel. Okay, why did we just spend all that time? What did we just uncover or kind of elaborate on with looking at the antecedents of these pronouns? What did we just read through?
The Father shows signs through the Son for people to be amazed by.
Okay. And what do we really have a glimpse of because of that, Tyler?
The equality.
Okay, yeah, the equality. And the equality falls under an umbrella of what?
Authority.
Authority falls under the umbrella of what? Let's use an R word. And it ends with S-H-I-P.
Relationship.
There we go. Jesus' authority, Jesus' power, Jesus' actions all show the equality or the relationship that he has with the Father. What's unique about Jesus' relationship with the Father in comparison to every human that's ever lived prior to this? What? Someone talked, but I couldn't hear. Was that you, Abby? Oh, you weren't even talking about this. Okay. What's unique about every human that's lived prior to chapter 5 and their relationship with God? They were never equal. Okay, what else did they, what else did they not have?
Authority.
They did not have his authority. What else did they not really have? How much relationship did anyone prior to Jesus have with God the Father?
Not nearly as much.
Not nearly as much. Students, think about the direction this is going to go. When you get to the end of Jesus' life, he is, but when Jesus gets to the end of his life and in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he says, all authority, Robert, he tells us that all authority has been given to him, and he's now sending us to go do things. And a couple chapters later in the story, when you get to the book of Acts, something huge happens in chapter 2. What huge thing happens in chapter 2? What, Sierra?
It was Peter's speech.
Okay, Peter's speech is part of it at Pentecost. What else happens then? Even bigger than Pentecost. The preaching of Pentecost, at least. Okay, Blake, if you're going to say it louder.
The Spirit.
What about the Spirit?
It's bestowed upon us.
Okay. It's bestowed upon us. Students, if you are a believer, you are given the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you, to live inside of you. And you then... Sorry, I'm boring you. I'm messing with you guys. Okay. And you are then given the task to do what Jesus tells you to do. Okay? Think about it this way. If you have Jesus in John chapter 5, who is saying, I am equal with God because I'm a child or I'm the son of God. He's given me his authority to do these things. And they're like, nope, we want to kill you. Fast forward a couple years, and now you have Jesus taking his authority, putting it into other humans, saying, I'm taking my authority and sending you or commissioning you to go do things that I told you to do. And oh, by the way, my Spirit is going to live inside of you as you go do those things. Do you see the parallel? What you have in John chapter 5, while Jesus is explaining, he is really kind of setting the stage of, don't be surprised when an entity within the Trinity says, you've got me with you, go do what I told you to do, and do it in my power. Jesus does not tell us to do anything he has not done himself. Then we read on. Those greater things, one, what is a greater thing than this healing of a lame man? What's something else he's going to show? Okay, raising people from the dead. What else?
Water to wine.
Okay, well, he's already done that. And which one is cooler? Turning a 38-year-old man that was lame into a normal walker or water to wine?
A man to water.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could turn water to coffee. It's not a miracle.
But you turn
it tastes like it, though. Yeah.
You can turn water to coffee by touching it.
Well, he didn't even touch it. He had someone else.
He didn't even touch it, Robert.
He literally told them, he said, go get water and give it to him. And they're like, what?
I mean, you could do that in coffee. For bringing water.
Yeah. Well, that's a terrible illustration.
Walking on,
but ultimately, what's the number one sign that they're supposed to see and marvel at?
Resurrection.
His resurrection. So that's what they will be marveling at. For, as the Father, oh, there we go, here's our clue. If you looked ahead, you got it. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life, gives them life, can you think of a time when God the Father raised someone from the dead?
Lazarus.
Okay, good. Go Old Testament. Prior to Jesus, then. Old Testament resurrections from the dead. Ready, go.
Yeah,
false.
No. Dudes in the field. What? All those bones.
Wait, dudes in the field, what?
Ezekiel? Like the
no,
is that Old Testament?
Wait, I didn't hear everything. I heard it was dudes in the field. I need more than that.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, good. Ezekiel with the Valley of Dry Bones.
I said it first, though.
Yes, Robert, you get credit for that.
Thank you.
All right. So that you could put that as a resurrection. Can you think of any others?
Elijah.
What, Mason?
Peter,
no. Paul, yes. Yeah, those are New Testament. I was asking about Old Testament. Because remember, we're trying to connect the dots of what does God the Father, if it's not Jesus doing, if we were to separate them. But yes, so it's Elijah. He ministers to the widow at Zarephath, that woman, and her son, the son that she was going to feed and die with. He dies later on, and Elijah goes and puts him up on his, lays him on his bed, and he like lays on top of him and raises the boy back to life. But there's, I think there's one with Elisha as well, because there's like a little boy, or maybe I'm confusing them.
It might be, yeah.
Because he complains about his head hurting, and then he dies.
Yep.
Yeah, it's probably Elijah. All right, so greater works than these, the Father raised the dead. So also the Son gives life to whom he will. Who does Jesus raise from the dead?
Us.
Right.
And himself.
Us.
Okay.
Himself.
All right. In the life of Christ.
Lazarus. Daughter of.
Yeah, daughter of Jairus. Okay. The synagogue official at Capernaum. Anyone else? Can you think of anyone else? That's okay. We got a couple. All right, well, then he moves on to this other concept. What's the next concept he moves on to? Look at verse 22. Instead of miracles or doing what he wants, it's judging. Ironic, considering Jesus is being judged, isn't he?
Yeah.
They're judging him for healing on the Sabbath. Like, let me tell you about some judgment. The Father judges no one, but he has given all judgment to the Son. Why? That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And now he challenges the audience around him. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. And truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. So Jesus closes out this part of his statement with God's not the judge. He's given me the judgment. And oh, by the way, if you reject me, you've rejected the one who has sent me. Which, that's the problem the Jews have. They have no problem with Yahweh. They are all about obeying Yahweh. Who they're not going to obey is this dude standing in front of them, because he's not Yahweh. At least they don't think he is. But he's Yahweh in the flesh. And now Jesus is letting them know, if you reject me, you've rejected the one who sent me. But if you receive or you believe in me, then what you get is eternal life. And you actually will not be judged, because you will be moved from death over to life. All right, we'll stop there. We'll pick up with the rest of Jesus' comments next week.